Wow, a really nice holiday season when it takes me 3 days to actually get started recording the video because I forget things that should be running. And I know I did that last week too, which was also reflective of holiday mode. Be that as it may, first of all, happy 2018. We are now in a new year and we have gone almost 5 days. I think we got like 4 and a bit days, at least by my clock, before the internet broke and all the other things connected to it broke, courtesy of Meltdown and Spectre. Now, these are two things that, of course, happened right at the time where I actually wanted to spend time with my family, which is what you're meant to do at this time of year. By the way, try and do that more. I've got to try and do that more. So I got sort of well behind the eight ball after these things broke, and I had journalists calling me up going, what about this thing? Because it's got a logo and it looks really bad. And I was like, I don't know. I've been in the sun enjoying my time. So I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on this. And I've been tweeting out this morning sort of asking people what's the best references to read for this. There are a heap of references out there at all levels of different technical complexity. So I'm not going to write anything, but I'll actually try and link to some of the stuff. In fact, best thing is I have been resharing via my Twitter feed today the things that I thought were the most insightful, well-written, easily consumable about the incident or the vulnerabilities, as it may be. And look, they are pretty nasty. They do have an enormously broad reach, which I think is the most sort of telling thing about this, as well as the fact that some of it is actually pretty hard to patch and it impacts so many different software products. So yeah, look, it is a big news story. It has obviously gotten a huge amount of press. And man, I've had even the mainstream press calling up today, you know, like mainstream consumer press going, so can you talk about like speculative computation of branched CPU? I don't think that's going to be consumable by my mum and dad and the most mainstream of folks. And really, like the only message we can give those people is update your things. There's not really a lot more we can do. So anyway, I will again refer you back to my Twitter timeline for things that I have shared that other very smart people who understand a lot of that side of computing better than I do have written about it. Moving on, because it is a new year and there is a bunch of new stuff. Now, what I thought I might do first of all, because I actually tweeted about this last night as well, is talk a little bit about some upcoming events, because I've got a heap of events for NDC over the course of 2018. Now, let me give you a little bit of context. NDC is, well, at least it originally stood for the Norwegian Developers Conference. And NDC is a very important event for me, because it was the sort of the first big international event that I went to 4 years ago now, the first one I spoke at. And in my mind, NDC was always like the, I don't know, like the top tier kind of event. If I could get to NDC and speak to NDC, it would be an awesome thing. And I remember thinking about this. This was when I still had a corporate life that I was very unhappy in and I was trying to get out of. And it'd be like, you know, it'd be awesome. That would be the stepping stone to going to where I want to be, which is where I am now. And I went to NDC in Oslo around the middle of 2014 and just had an absolutely great time, had a fantastic talk, knocked it out of the park. Everyone was very, very happy. And since that time, I've said yes to most of the events that they do around the world because they've expanded these out. So there's NDC in London, which I'm going to be at, the week after this one coming. So 8 days from now, I'll be getting back on a plane and going over to London, which I'm sure is lovely this time of year. So I'll be there, and I'm just looking at all my notes of time. So London begins on January 15. The week after that, I'm going to be in Oslo. If you think London's cold in January, try Oslo, which I have done in January. Very pretty, but cold. So I'll be in Oslo on Jan 22, and again, there'll be a 2-day workshop at both these events. And some security talks. And they're public too. You pay NDC money and then anyone can come along and go to them. So probably the easiest way to get yourself into one of my workshops. Then right here, and I can actually see the building from my bedroom, we're going to have NDC Gold Coast 25th of April. Now this is really, really cool. So we're going to run an NDC security event, which is the same as we're doing in Oslo in a couple of weeks from now. We're going to run that here on the Gold Coast. So this will be great, definitely for anyone in Brisbane or Gold Coast, which is very, very close to me. Great for anyone in Australia because it's only mostly a 1 or 2 hour flight away, unless you're on the other side of the country. They got accommodation packages as well. You get to come to the Gold Coast, which is awesome. That is also awesome if you are in another country and you'd really like to come to the Gold Coast, because this is a great spot. And April is still sort of almost summer, so it's going to be a really, really epic time. So I'll be there. I'll be back in Oslo on the 11th of June for the big NDC event. This is the one that I started talking about beforehand. And I'll be in Sydney on the 17th of September for NDC Australia. So we've got sort of two or three big NDC events, London, Oslo, Sydney. And then we've got the two security ones, which is going to be Oslo and Gold Coast. And every one of those, I'm going to do my two-day workshop, the same sort of deal as usual. And I'll be doing talks and other things like that. So that's what's coming up over the course of the year. And they're the sort of the main things that I have locked in terms of NDC. Right, so that'll be really awesome. Now, a few other things coming up. Actually, this was something interesting. One of the really nice things about being online, by virtue of watching this, I guess you're online. One of the nice things about being online and creating sort of social connections is having the opportunity to meet people in different places. So I've spoken before. In fact, I do a talk at NDC where I talk about this. I spoke about it in Oslo and Sydney, and I'm going to be talking about this in London in a week and a half's time. I talk about sort of catching up with people that you meet online via social media. And every time I've done this, I've met really interesting people. And they're usually people that I've never heard of before. They might have a dozen followers, but it's just someone who says, hey, I'm in a certain place. Would you like to have a coffee or a beer or something? And I catch up with them, which has been awesome. And last week I caught up with someone who, or during this week, caught up with someone who came and visited here, which is Kevin Mitnick. Now, some of you may have heard of Kevin Mitnick before. He's written a bunch of books, of some of which are actually still sitting on my bookshelf over there as well. What have I got? He's written things like this. This was Art of Intrusion from a while ago, Art of Deception as well, which goes back a little way now. The one he wrote that I really like is called Ghost in the Wires. And if you don't know who Kevin is, Kevin was very prolific as a hacker, in particularly around sort of the early to mid 90s. And this was an era sort of before the internet as we know it today. He was very much into breaking into telco systems. One of the things that the US government ended up getting very worried about is that he could whistle into the phone and launch nuclear weapons or something crazy like that. But he was a very, very prolific guy, ended up going on the run for a couple of years, changing identities, eventually got caught, locked up in solitary confinement, ended up in jail for a while. Like all the sorts of nasty outcomes that you don't really want as an individual. But the interesting thing that always came across in his material and meeting him as well is it was a bloke who was curious about stuff as opposed to someone going out maliciously for their own financial gain. But anyway, so Kevin was visiting the Gold Coast, and we caught up and had some dinner, and then went out on a boat trip, which became very extended after I misread the tide charts and we got stuck on an island for hours. But anyway, that was cool because it was a good chance to have a chat to the guy. And it was just another one of these really nice opportunities to meet people who you find online. And if you do want to read a really interesting book, go and grab Ghost in the Wires. I got it years ago. In fact, I think I gave it to someone else, so I can't find it now. And it was a very, very interesting read. So, yeah, it was nice to do that sort of in my own backyard. All right, other things this week before I get onto the blog post I wrote. Someone on the internet got upset with me. Now, I know this will come as a shock, but people on the internet love to get upset. And I want to explain why this person was upset with me and how I dealt with it, because this is actually an important thing that does come up a number of times. Now, how do I put this subtly without upsetting more people? Donald Trump made a tweet the other day. Now, you've probably seen this in the news. He was basically comparing his big red button with Kim Jong-un's big red button. And I know that sounds like a euphemism, but they're talking about the nuclear button. And it was a tweet that, like, I just kind of feel, regardless of your political leanings, that sort of comparing nuclear arsenals in a, I don't know, a very colloquial way, where he says, what did he say here? North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times, which I guess you kind of expect. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I too have a nuclear button, but it is much bigger and more powerful than his, and my button works. That's just... again, regardless of your political leanings, you would probably agree that that is a somewhat inflammatory tweet, and it is a little bit worrying to see nation-state leaders with nuclear arsenals speaking that way. So I quote tweeted it and I said, hey, any of my North Korean followers got Kim on email, Skype, WhatsApp and can pass this on. And that was it. And it was a very sort of, you know, throwaway casual tweet. Now, the problem is, one of the things I've discovered is that every time I tweet about Trump, and to be clear, this would be maybe once every 6 to 8 weeks. Like, I know some people get right up on their high horse about it, and I can understand why in terms of bagging Trump. But for me, I try and keep that very, very rare because, you know, we don't need more stuff like this. Anyway, someone got kind of upset about this. So this guy says, this kind of sarcastic and useless bit of text is not why I follow you on Twitter. I'm an American, and I like my current president. Do you have another Twitter account that you can espouse your uninformed political commentary on? Now, this is where things start to take a turn, and I want to get away from the politics, because frankly, I couldn't care less about his political views. And look, isn't it a democracy? Democracy worked. We don't like the result. Most of us don't like the result. It is what it is. Move on. It's the bit about saying, can you please keep one particular part of your personality out of your social profile that upsets myself and many others like me. And I've seen this happen many times before, not necessarily just about politics. It certainly happened to me many times before. It's happened to my friend Scott Hanselman many times before. Many of you will know Scott, where I've seen him sort of share similar messages where people say, look, I follow you for a purpose. So say it's me. So I follow you because I want to hear about information security. You have just shared something that's over here. It's not about information security. Can you please stop doing that? No. No, I can't stop doing that because that's not how the Twitters work. Like for me, my Twitter profile is an opportunity to share things that are largely focused around security. But just like doing this video now, I also want to try and share a bit of my personality, the things that I find interesting that might fit outside that realm, a little bit about who I am. And I replied to the guy directly. And at this stage, it wasn't sort of a quote tweet or anything. I said, if you're asking for an account tailored specifically to your likes, no, I don't have one of those. This one may include photos of beer, beaches, and commentary on alarming things said by global leaders, which seems quite reasonable. Now, look, a few other things happened after that. I'll come back to in a moment. But this is the thing. For me, I want to share other things that give you a sense of who I am and what I do. And, you know, interestingly, just thinking about this now, the very first blog post I ever wrote was about why online identities are smart career moves. And I'm trying to explain that having an online personality and persona can be a really good way of people understanding who you are and what you stand for and what your interests are. And that can be a really good thing later on when you're going for jobs or going for a boyfriend or a girlfriend or who knows what. But the point is that you've got an identity that's well established and it tells the world something about yourself. So, you know, my Twitter profile is always going to be independent that way. And I later on sort of quote tweeted my own tweet and said, look, at the end of the day, there's going to be stuff on everyone's profile which people like and dislike. Yeah, maybe you don't like photos of beer because you're not a beer person, you know, and that's fine. And if the balance gets to the point where you're going, Troy's like ratio of InfoSec to beer is not to my liking, then you unfollow. You don't go, hey, Troy, can you stop tweeting photos about beer? That's just not how it works. So I just wanted to sort of raise that, and it's I've probably given it more airtime than what that one tweet deserves, but to me it's sort of the fabric of online identities being about personalities and character and not just being about dry information the whole time. So anyway, that was that. I've obviously, I may have lost a follower there. Actually, let me check because I'm curious now. Yeah, I lost a follower. Damn it. Anywho, so I'm down to 90,000 something now, but I'll live with that. many people did come on later on and say, look, I think this person's a bot because all they do is like tweet Trump stuff. I actually replied to one of my tweets in a very human-like fashion. And then people were like, oh, maybe it's actually like the Russians and they're just controlling this. I don't know. And frankly, that's tangential to the core issue of the fact that there are people out there that are legitimate humans that reply that way. Let's move on. I've given that guy too much airtime. All right. So one of the other things that I did this week, and this one is something that I've started doing each year over the last couple of years of independence, is I wrote about a retrospective. So I like to sort of get to the end of the year and go, okay, you know, what have I done? And, you know, I frankly find the whole New Year's resolutions and everything kind of a little bit funny, where it's like, it's January 1. Let's actually start to be good people, you know, we're going to exercise more or eat better or drink less beer or whatever it may be. And, you know, we'll do this on January 1. And you know, people sort of set goals and achievements and things. And I understand that works for a lot of people. For me, and I sort of say this multiple times in the post, I don't really know what I'm going to do this year. I really don't. Yeah, other than just continuing to do the same stuff. What I really want to be able to do is I want to be able to look back in a year and go, I progressed, I moved forward. And there's all sorts of measures about what moving forward is. And the end of the year is a bit of an opportunity to do that. So maybe I'm a little bit the wrong way around. Instead of looking forward and saying, this is what I'm going to do, I'm looking backwards and saying, this is what I have done. Am I happy with where I've gone? And, you know, looking back on it, there's a lot of different ways I can sort of look back and say, how was 2017? Looking at my blog stats at the moment, everything was up by about 25%. Sessions, users, page views. So that's good. There's a lot more people coming and reading my content. That's Google Analytics as well. And I'm conscious that around about a third of people apparently these days are running ad blockers, tracker blockers, which probably knocks a lot off those stats. But you know, that's still up and up, which is really nice. I'm very happy about that. My travel, I need to do more on. Now, when I say do more on, I need to do more at reducing it. Because when I look at the stats, 2017, I had 17 different trips, 136 days away. I traveled 179,000 kilometers, went to 42 cities and 9 countries. And that starts to feel like quite a lot. So that was actually about 37% of my time spent away. It wasn't all work. I was snowboarding for a while there. I had my family with me for a couple of weeks while I was in Europe. But still, for someone who loves where they live so much, you know, like being away 37% of the year, maybe I need to work on that. Looking at my other stats here, what else to do? 53 flights. I mean, this is the thing, more than one flight a week. Flights to me are just, some are certainly more painful than others, but just the whole process of going through security and tickets and find your seat and sit down, fasten your seat, it just gets old. So I'm going to have to work more on that. Now, my speaking, I was really, really happy to look back at the year and go, there were several things that really stood out for me in terms of speaking events. And the first one I touched on just before, the soft skills talk that I did in Oslo, and then I did in Sydney, and this is the one I'm going to be doing in London week after next. And this was about Hack Your Career. And the reason why I was so happy with this talk is it's the first time I had done what is really a soft skills talk, certainly at a big event, the first time I'd done one. And I just really liked the feedback from people. So in quantifiable senses, my hardcore security ones got higher marks. I mean, the soft skill one was still very good. They got higher marks. But what I really liked from people is hearing what resonated with them. You know, people saying, look, I'm like what you were. I am unhappy with my job and I want to change things and I want to do things better. Like, you really hit home. I had one guy after the Oslo event say, like, I was crying just watching this, which I did not expect, because of the emotions that that brought up in terms of being very unhappy with the environment that he was in. So I was really, really happy to see that talk get that traction. And I actually linked to that talk in this blog post if you want to have a look at that. So I'm very happy about that. I'm looking forward to doing it again in London. So if you're at NDC London, come and watch that one. It's something different. So that was number one. Number two, Pluralsight Live. So this was the Utah event where I did a keynote on the big stage. Felt like an absolute freaking rock star because it was a rock star stage where they literally had rock stars on there the night before performing. But it was just an awesome experience. not just because of the stage and everything, but because of weaving my way through the Secret Service people guarding Michelle Obama before she came on to do her thing after me. So it was just one of those things where, again, doing the retrospective thing, looking back, a year ago when I sat here and recorded this, I could not have seen that coming. You know, like that was just not on the radar. In fact, when it first came up, I was like, I don't really want to go away again because of the travel problem I mentioned before. So it was just not expected, but it just worked out to be epic. So I was very, very happy about that. And then I think the sort of ultimate event out of the year, which again, I never saw coming, was the congressional testimony. And this was just one of those things which was, it's not life altering, but it was just such a big thing where for years to come, I'll be able to say, yeah, look, I went and testified in front of Congress. You know, they were interested enough in what I had to say. I went through all the formality and rigmarole and everything, and it was a massive thing. And again, like the Pluralsight thing, but even more so, I never saw that coming. Like, I wouldn't have picked that a year ago. And in fact, you know, a year ago, I had different things on my mind that I'll come back to in the future. So that was just an amazing event. And I've got a picture of me sitting here with the other guys, the other other witnesses in Congress, looking very presentable and not wearing a black T-shirt. So that was an amazing time. And again, when you sort of look back on your year that has been, obviously the Congress thing was quite exceptional, but you know, I wonder for you guys as well, like, do you look back and go, hey, there's a bunch of things I did throughout the year, which for yourselves was awesome. And they'll be different to my things and different to everyone else's things. But I think it's really important to be able to do that. Other things, Have I Been Pwned? So I'm really happy with the way Have I Been Pwned went this year. And the thing that I'm most happy about, and this probably goes back to what I alluded to just before about different things I was worried about a year ago, I was especially conscious, I haven't written about this, so this is sort of the first you're hearing about it. I was especially conscious around the start of 2017 that this data breach scene, and in particular services providing access to information, was living in a very, very grey area. And the sort of things I was very conscious of is that there were services like Leaked Source, which got taken down shortly after the start of last year, where there are services out there acquiring large amounts of data and then selling it in order to disadvantage the people that were in there. And I would often see Have I Been Pwned put in stories alongside those sorts of services which were being used for malicious purposes. And frankly, I was worried about the ongoing viability of the service because of the genre in which it was living. Now, Leaked Source got shut down. We've seen other services since then get shut down. We've seen the landscape change really significantly in terms of the bad stuff disappearing and the good stuff, namely Have I Been Pwned, ending up being discussed in Congress. So I'm enormously happy that Have I Been Pwned has been continually legitimized, for want of a better term. Now, I actually have a blog post in draft. It's been in draft for several months now about the legitimization of Have I Been Pwned, since before the Congress thing. Because there are all these cases now where everything from local police departments to national law enforcement to three-letter acronym departments that are using Have I Been Pwned, even recommending Have I Been Pwned, in ways that do legitimize the service. They give it a lot of credibility. I've got a couple of things on the boil which I hope to wrap up this month, which would take that to another level again. And it's something which I expect I'll be able to write about probably in Feb. And then I will do the post about the legitimization of Have I Been Pwned as well. Because that is enormously important to me. And maybe it doesn't seem like a big thing, but I was worrying about it living in that space with so many shady services. So that's great. It has been legitimized far more so than what it was a year ago. On the raw stats, so the total breaches I have, I've gone from 178 breaches up to 259 breaches. That's one new breach every 4.5 days. I'm 5 days into the year at the time of recording. I've already loaded one new breach, which was this Hound Dogs Danish torrenting service. It's a little one, but, you know, it's another breach. There's a bunch that I'm sitting on at the moment where I'm just going, the disclosure processes. I mean, I got to go through them, but the disclosure is difficult. I am actually working on something with someone to try and work on making disclosure easier. And hopefully I'll be able to come back to you on that when I get a little bit more time. Total breach records went from just over 2 billion to more than 4.8 billion. Now that's another 7.6 million records every single day. I don't see that rate continuing this year. And the only reason I say that is because some of the stuff I loaded, like the anti-public combo list, the exploit IN combo list, they added like 700 something million records themselves. Unless there's a whole bunch of other data breaches out there that we've never heard about, and yes, there are, but unless there's a bunch of really big ones that are then aggregated into these big combo lists, I don't think it's going to jump that much this year. Having said that, maybe that 3 billion Yahoo breach will turn up after I stop this recording, and then it will be like, okay, well, there's 3 billion records to load. I don't know. I don't see anything changing in terms of the rate of new breaches, and particularly in 2017, we saw a lot of breaches that had happened many years ago that turned up. Kickstarter, Bitly, Discuss, Imgur. I'm sure there's still a lot of that stuff out there. There might be a Facebook data breach out there with a billion records in it. I don't know. Maybe now I'm convincing myself that maybe we will actually see multiple billions of records appear in Have I Been Pwned this year. I don't know. Anyway, point is it keeps growing a lot. Twitter followers went from 21,000 to 40,000. And, you know, I mean, that's sort of doubling within the space of a year for a project that's been running more than 4 years now. So I don't know that Twitter followers is the best metric of the success of a project, but certainly it gives you a sense of the growth of social influence. Total verified subscribers. Now, this one I am actually much more interested in. Total verified subscribers went from 942,000 to 1.8 million. In fact, it's just under 1.8 million now. But it's growing at about 2,200 new subscribers a day. This is my sort of last four-week rolling average. And one of the things I actually noticed lately is that it's constantly serving usually between 70 and 100,000 unique users a day. So it's actually getting really, really big. In terms of sort of the baseline of activity. And then, of course, if there's a major incident, so, you know, say the Dropbox data breach a while back, then that traffic just goes absolutely through the roof. But the baseline has now become very, very big. And the average daily unique visitors, yeah, I just said that, it's about 70,000. That's off the Cloudflare stats too. This is not off Google Analytics because, as I said, there's a bunch of stuff that's blocked. Cloudflare seems to be pretty reliable for the unique users. So that was Have I Been Pwned. A bunch more stuff coming this year on that front. I do have ideas about many other things as well. Report your ROI. So this is a new project started by my mate Scott Helm, invested in by me, and now with some input from me, but he does most of the work. Scott is exceptionally good at what he does. Incidentally, Scott's going to be all over the place with me this year. Scott's going to be with me in London next week. He's going to be with me in Oslo the week after that. He's going to be with me in Hawaii in April. We're doing a conference that Jim Manico from OWASP is involved in. So we'll be in Hawaii in April, and then Scott will be here on the Gold Coast with me for the Gold Coast NDC as well. So you might be seeing a bit more of Scott. And if you don't follow Scott, he is actually a top-notch bloke as well, with many interesting things to say and opinions on Trump. No, don't start that again. Anyway, Scott is doing Report Your ROI. It is something which is expanding very, very steadily. So we've got a bunch of new people subscribing commercially, which is good because we do actually need to pay wages and actually run the thing. Scott does this full time. It's his baby and he has a family. He needs to make a living. So that's going really well. We've got a bunch of things in the wings that I've promised Scott I'll look at some of this today. I've got to stop doing maybe boating and things and actually do some work on this. But we do have a lot of new stuff coming, and particularly the relationship with Cloudflare is helping us do some very, very cool stuff that will come to you very, very soon. There's also a lot of really interesting stuff that we can do with the data set that we're collecting. So for example, Scott wrote recently about being able to identify malware running within an organization. And this was actually a really interesting case where an organization was using Report Your ROI for one of the internal systems, and they identified that someone within their organization was sending reports that were being generated by malware running on their system. And then Scott helped them to seed some information into those reports so that they could track down the actual endpoint that was infected, and they cleaned the computer, which was kind of cool. So it's this all this sort of other incidental stuff that we can get out of particularly CSP reports that make report URI really interesting. Yeah, there was that. Pluralsight. So Pluralsight, I sort of talk a little bit about changing the relationship a little bit with Pluralsight insofar as I've now got, I think it's 33 courses in the library. And what I was finding is that as I created new courses for them, they weren't necessarily having as big an impact as a lot of the earlier courses I created. I think you sort of get to a critical mass of material. So a combination of that and the fact that there's loads of other stuff for me to do with my time. I did courses this year for Verona, so I did a GDPR course. I did the Ubiquiti course on all the Wi-Fi bits and pieces. Means that I haven't done as much Pluralsight. I've done a number of play-by-play events, the ones where there's videos pointing at each other. And they were cool. I did things which were a little bit unusual. So I did things like the play-by-play on virtual machines. Was I meant to talk about that this week? Man, this is what happens when you go on holidays. You forget a bunch. No, I must have talked about that last week. I talked about that last week. I've had a lot of beer since last week. Anyway, so doing other things as well. But one of the things that we've been trying to do with Pluralsight is try and find what's a good way of creating more material in the future that makes sense for me and also makes sense for them. And we have hit on something. We have actually recorded something. They are doing some very good editing work on that at the moment. And I think we're going to see that. Well, now we're going to see it in January. I'm not sure if it's going to be within the next week or within the next 2 weeks. But that's going to be really good. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that because it's going to be something very broadly accessible and very broadly relevant. So we're going to see a lot more Pluralsight this year. It's just going to look a little bit different to last time. All right, new things. So what is next? What's coming up? So one of the things I'm really struggling with at the moment, and I don't know if struggling is the right word, but I certainly spend a lot of time thinking about, is what do I say no to? So saying yes is kind of the easy bit. Oh, that looks interesting. I'll just say yes to that. But the problem is that if you say yes to that, you got to say no to something else because there's only so much of you to go around. And as I've said several times now, I really do want to try and see my family a bit more as well. So at the moment, I've said no to 75 separate events last year. So yeah, this is, I guess, a bit retrospective again. There are 75 events that I had to say, look, I just can't go to. And these are really interesting events in places all the way around the world, stuff that I'd really like to go to. I haven't been to Russia before. I'd like to go to Russia and do stuff there. There are a number of events in Russia. I haven't been to Israel. There are a number there. And I've had to say no to stuff. So what I have to do for 2018 is figure out what are the right things to go to. Now, obviously, I'm doing all the NDC things. I mentioned the Hawaii event as well. In March, I'll be in Seattle for the MVP / regional director event. Plus, I'm doing a keynote in Vegas in March. That will be on my events page. Other than that, I really don't have many plans. And I need to try and find the things that are a combination of sort of the highest and best use of my time that I find the most interesting that might be in places I want to go to, like Hawaii. And yeah, we'll just have to see. But the reality will be that the vast majority of stuff that comes up, I'll have to say no to because it's great that so many people want to run these events, but time-wise. So, you know, there's that. One of the things that I want to do in this year, and again, I'm not sort of setting specific goals or objectives or numbers, is I do want to spend more time building out some things on Have I Been Pwned. And I think it's probably as part of the fact that, as I said before, it's been legitimized and is becoming more mainstream. There's a bunch of stuff I can do there that are going to help people a lot. There's a few things I have in mind in particular that have been on the back burner. And there are also ways that I can spend more time doing that and actually making a living out of Have I Been Pwned as a service, as opposed to necessarily being on aeroplanes jetting all array around the world. So I'm going to be giving that a lot more thought. I think Feb will be kind of pivotal. I hope it'll be kind of pivotal, depending on how things go over the next few weeks. And, you know, it will be really interesting to look back and do this again at the beginning of 2019 and see where that service is then. And I have high hopes for it, but hey, we'll wait and see. So that's all of the business end of things. The last thing there as well, of course, is the sponsor. I've got Netsparker sponsoring me again this week. I spoke a bunch about Netsparker last week. We're going to see them a lot over 2018 as well. And I think I mentioned last week as well, I use them in all my workshops as well to demonstrate dynamic analysis. For me, it's still the most readily accessible, most effective dynamic analysis scanner that I have used so far, and I have used a bunch of them so far. So I'm really happy to have those guys on the sponsor page because it is something that, regardless of any commercial relationships, I do use and I do endorse. They do good stuff. Check them out. So that's that. Next week, I will come to you the day before going away. I may look more stressed than now. I'm going to try and change it this year, but last year, I remember actually when I went to NDC London in January last year, I was feeling really stressed and run down before the event. And I'm going to try and change that. And in part, I'm changing that by making these trips shorter. So I'm only away for 2 weeks. I'm in London, I mentioned Oslo, and then I'm in Denmark for a couple of days. So I'm going to try and make that a lot easier on me. Tell me next week if I don't look relaxed, and I will try and take more time out in the sun or by the pool or something like that. All right, so that's it for this week. Thank you very much for watching. I will come to you next week from the same spot before I head off and travels again. Thanks, guys. See you later.